The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It is the Unpack Pod from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation at the Unpack Pod on Twitter and on Instagram. Also, in addition, for no reason, talking about your kind of bad, I guess, Green Bay Packers. Zach Rapport at Zach Rapport on Twitter in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And once again, holding it down in the same room. We're in Brooklyn. Is that where we are?
Brooklyn, baby.
Alex and
yes.
Nick, how are you doing? I caught you taking a swig.
That's okay. Yeah, you reminded me to take a sip of my... actually, this isn't Brooklyn Brewery. It's Bronx Brewery. City Island Sour. I'm okay. This isn't a wildly unexpected outcome.
Yeah.
It is in a way, because we did walk in and talk about how this should not... You know, how we should return from London. Still a fraudulent team, but a 4-1 fraudulent team. And it all sort of just felt like a weird early morning fever dream.
Yeah. Wow, how cocky were we back then? Way back when.
Yeah.
Exactly 1 week ago today. Yes, 27-22, the final score. The Packers losing to the Giants in just like a total wet fart of a game. That's about... That's all I got. That's my
my
analysis. Nick, where did you watch the game? Because you were in DC, right?
I was in DC, and I had every intention of getting out and getting to a DC bar, and then I woke up around 9 o'clock after a late wedding night and watched it on my iPad in the hotel room.
Dude,
and
congrats! You didn't tell me you got married.
Yeah. Yeah, not my wedding. not mine, but congratulations.
Bada bing.
To the happy couple. And I'm happy, honestly, that I just had to suffer through the misery by myself because nobody really, I wouldn't have been fun company.
Were you eating like a continental breakfast? Was there like...
I was, actually. I ran down at halftime to get my continental breakfast and ferociously swig my coffee and just... scream obscenities as the Packers let the second half really just run away from them. And we were texting back and forth about like, hey, it looks like they're actually kind of running their offense. And in the first half, that is.
Yeah, right.
and then it all went by the wayside.
Alex, where did you watch the game? Did you just roll out of bed and fire up the brats at 6:30 in the morning or whatever it is?
I did.
I guess it's later there.
It is a little bit later on the East Coast. I was scrambling things together. I had made the mistake of drunkenly inviting some very nice people who live in our building, he's from Appleton, Wisconsin. They have a kid. I invited them over for the game. I was like, I'm making breakfast. And it was while I was drunk and I was out and I woke up and I was like, oh man, I have a headache. I don't want to do this. Why did I do this? But
night guy, all, totally screwed morning guy.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And but I had the brat egg like casserole thing in the oven before kickoff. It was baking its way through the first quarter. And it was ready to go in the second quarter. And they actually showed up like well into the second quarter too, which was good. And it was a great way to kick off my like winter decline in health by having a here's the thing. I was also constrained to what was open at the time. And I have a butcher shop I love. And they weren't open until 9. So I had to go to Trader Joe's. So I got cheddar stuffed chicken brats. So it was like the brats, even though they were chicken, I still figured like this could be Wisconsin-y because they were stuffed with cheddar.
Yeah.
And then I doused the whole like egg thing with cheddar too. So it was a really cheddar-y, eggy thing. And it was great. And it was the highlight of my day, honestly, was when the Packers were up by 2 scores and I was eating that. And I was like, sometimes life is good. And then I was reminded that pain is... Is always anything? Around the corner.
Yeah. The pain just meter lurking. Always, yeah, ready to rear its head. I guess that's we'll just as you slide into your winter decline, we will slide into Note Nugs and give some general observations here. Hashtag Note Nugs. Tweet at us after every game with your general observations. And I'll go first and just I don't know. I was thinking a lot about this today. Because I've been going through these waves of like feeling super pessimistic and then optimistic and then you know the drill, but I've been hearing all this chatter like oh, the Packers are like this close to cracking the code and they just need to clean this up or that needs to go better. You know who isn't this close to cracking the code? The Giants, because outside of Saquon Barkley, they are a talent poor roster. But they're well coached and they focus on what they can do. And they beat a Packers team that at this point looks poorly coached to me. I guess that's my note nug, soft zone defense, where it looks like guys are just like out of sorts, not rallying to the ball, and wide receivers are running into each other. And there's just like, as everyone was tweeting about after the game, a total lack of commitment to just run the ball with the two really good running backs that you're trying to build this young offense around. And that's all coaching. I don't know. It's not great. I feel like we talk about the preseason extending into the regular season a little bit now, and we're at least 2 weeks past that. And this team is not improving. And this is, I'm not saying like fire everybody. I'm not stupid, but these are like coaching problems here in my mind. So it's just disappointing because even as we knew that we needed to sort of reshape the offense a bit this year, I think we were all kind of hanging our hat on solid coaching, and it's just been disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to be a process-driven team and not a results-driven team, you have to be able to at least adjust the process along the way, which they don't. Like they stick to whatever their formula is, and the in-game stuff, especially defensive. Well, I guess offensively and defensively, the soft cover three stuff and the too high safety stuff, it just wasn't working, and they didn't at early on in the game. It looked like they were stopping Saquon well enough, but then the Giants were able to adjust and the Packers weren't able to adjust back. And then, yeah, just run the damn ball on your side. It was working and you had not a gigantic lead, but a big enough lead that you should be able to ice away the Giants with. Yeah. If you just give that, what did they have for combined touches? Less than 20? Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon?
19 rushing attempts.
It just doesn't make any sense. If you want to be a team that sticks to the run,
and you're up 17-3 at halftime.
Just
run the damn ball, man.
Yeah.
Ugh. The frustration is bubbling over. I mean, it was bubbling over with I forget. There was a defensive player interviewed by one of the beat reporters after the game who said basically we were so focused on sticking to our game plan. And then there was a comment from Aaron Jones who said, I want the ball in those short yardage, like game to go situations. We had multiple attempts. I want the ball. And he's never said anything like that before. He's Mr. Yes, sir. No, sir. I mean, frustration is bubbling over.
Yeah. He said he'd bet. I forget I'm paraphrasing what the quote was, but after the game, he's like, I would bet money or, you know, whatever the amount of money is on me or AJ being able to gain those yards at the end of the game.
Yeah. That's his Which very is, nice way of saying run the damn ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also his way of being very nice and not just asking for the ball himself because to be honest, AJ Dillon,
even when he's fuming.
I don't want to mischaracterize him. Yeah, that was like the nicest way possible for him to say I did not appreciate the strategy.
I would almost wish that he were more selfish and more blunt with it, honestly. But I Matt LaFleur is very aware of it. What I find interesting to go back to the genesis of your nug is that, like, just, you know, you're talking about them being a poorly coached team. And I think that the stuff that's showing up with Joe Barry on defense, these are themes that, have probably existed for a while. So I don't think it's that crazy to say, like, not yet, maybe, but like, is there a time that you already can kind of consider that maybe the future of this defense should be in somebody else's hands? But I don't know, and I don't recall, and maybe I'm wrong, like a time that we thought, you know, we were convinced the Packers were a poorly coached team offensively too. Like, LaFleur has been a revelation. Like, we've sang his praises for ages and ages, but why now? Like, what's, I don't know. Like, I'm just wondering, like, what the hell happened to him? You know, like, it was always like he was kind of like saving us from Aaron Rodgers. He was kind of like shielding us from the hero ball stuff at times when he could. And now it's like, I don't know if he's leaning into it or what, but I think just Rodgers just has like too much freedom. Like, I don't know. It's hard to know, right? So if he truly can come to the line of scrimmage and call a runner pass on any given on a huge portion of their offense, right? How much of it is Rodgers making those decisions versus LaFleur? Like, I can't imagine that when they hang 17 points on the board and they're up two scores, that LaFleur would be like, you know, just like, would not want to just run the ball. Like, that's what's in his DNA. That's what's in entire coaching trees, like, DNA for the most part, right? I don't know. I hate to make this a Rodgers thing again, but I really question, like, is there just too much freedom to kind of go with the flow? Like, how are you not just running the ball in the second half? I don't understand. Did it
not to all of us feel so inevitable that it was going to kind of, when the tide started to shift a little bit, and the Giants started to pick up some momentum, at least I felt like, this is just, I've seen this play out so many times before. They're going to go three and out on this next drive, or, you know, Rodgers is going to force something, or he's going to hold on to the ball a little too long and get sacked.
Yeah, there's an air of inevitability about it, and it almost feels like there comes a point in the game where the Packers are like, we've done all the scoring we can, we need to make it to the finish line before the other team, like, achieves the same amount of points. And I know that that's, like, literally the name of the game, but, like, you can still fucking score, too. Like, you can make it a little bit harder for them. Or you could, at the very least, you know, take the opportunity to run clock. So, I'm just going to get my note nug off. Sorry, Zach.
No, go for it.
I hope that's okay. Because it is about that. And I mentioned last week about the Packers becoming easy to play against. It's one thing when all of us who've been watching this team every single week for, you know, decades, to kind of have an idea of what's coming. It's another when I feel like the whole league has an idea of what's coming. And there's never been anything more obvious. And I know they talked about this on the repack too, but this is literally the thing that made me the most mad in a game that was entirely maddening, is that when the Giants tied the game 20-20, on a, what was it, 15 play? I have it somewhere. On a 15 play, 91-yard drive that ate up 8 minutes. Yeah. Aaron Charles Rodgers throws two long balls to Alan Lazard and a pass to Randall Cobb. Who would have guessed? Like, his two guys. All of them incomplete. They ate a whopping total of 16 seconds off the clock and then put the defense back on the field and was like, here. Good luck.
Yeah.
With Saquon coming back in the game. I mean, like, I'm mad at the defense, but I'm like really, really mad that everyone knew that type of Rodgers drive, like, screw it, I'm just going to try to win us the game now, was coming. And like, defenses know that too. For Aaron Jones not to get a touch on that drive, to me, is inexcusable.
It's,
like,
absurd. Yeah.
If anything, just because of the fact that your defense is gassed, like, it's one thing to try to go and get another score because the game is fucking tied. It's literally hanging in the balance. But it's another thing when you're like, we need to eat a little bit of clock and regroup out there.
Right.
Because
it's
our guys
not like 4D chess to like have at least one run play so you can give your defense like 40 more seconds.
It's the equivalent of like high school baseball when you're pitcher is reeling out there and you got to go take a couple pitches as opposed to swinging at all three and just throwing them back on the mound. It's just like they were grinding and it was bad scheme. There's too much talent on that defensive side to get eaten up like that. So it's like a mixture of things kind of going wrong and scheme stuff, but just run.
is the
name of this pod, this particular pod, just run the damn ball. I hope not, because it's so obvious, but like, come on, you guys. And also like when they got down, you kind of in your heart knew Rodgers was going to get the ball into the red zone. But I didn't feel like they were going to score there either. Something just felt off about all of it. I said it felt like a fever dream. That whole game felt like I dreamed it or something.
It didn't feel very real. Nick and I were talking about this before we actually hopped on to record this. And like, I don't know if it was the time of day or what.
Or the intentional safety.
intentional safety. I honestly think part of it is like the names of the Giants. Like how much of a not real NFL team they are.
They were like Madden names. And when you were like starting a franchise.
There were so many what's-us. Yeah. Like Richie James, David Sills, and Daniel Bellinger. Those, you cannot tell me those aren't auto-generated like players that you draft like 5 years deep into your Madden franchise.
Yeah.
Like what's going on? Oh man, it's maddening.
And the Slayton game, no one was anticipating the Slayton game.
Oh God. Not giving Jones the ball was one of the few ways that this team, as underwhelming as the defense has been, could have gone out and lost to Saquon Barkley, who got shot up in the locker room and had to come back out, probably with like a totally wrecked shoulder, and already broken Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that was enough.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nick, do you have a nug?
Yeah, I guess it all kind of leads me into my nug, which is essentially just, we all kind of had in our heads like the Packers should win this game. They might not. Who knows? Losing it that way, as I was watching, I was more just like defeated, but also like I felt resolved that the game ended the way that it did, because I'm like, this team early in the season, they like the Vikings game, the first game of the season, like they came in, they weren't ready. They got blown out, whatever. Like you can kind of like throw the film out there. This one, like this team needs to lose a game like that if there's any hope of salvaging this season, in my opinion, because if you don't drastically look at your process and everything that surrounds why you're doing things the way that you are, you're not going to get any better. And to squeak one of those away or squeak a win, and then you get one next week against the Jets potentially, and then you become on paper what looks like a really good team that is just not. It's not the recipe for any type of success. So I'm like, whatever. Good. I'm glad you lost. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because you've got to reevaluate this stuff.
Well, there's like a couple different ways for like a winning team to go through the season. One of them is that they're just dominant the whole way, which is really rare. But another way, like you're pointing out, is like a good team that at some point, hopefully early, has to like eat the poo a little bit and like, oh, that sucked. Let's reevaluate and grow and get better from there. I think the thing that struck me coming out of this game was suddenly wavering on my confidence as to whether or not they could grow and improve from that.
Yeah, that is the only thing, because I don't know that they can. I hope they can.
I still think they can. I think I've landed on yes, they can, but also I'm hooked in.
They looked good.
However many more games
in the first half. I was like kind of like lackadaisically like walking around the hotel room in my boxers, like this is fun, like whatever, like who cares? Yeah, and then
continental breakfast waffle flopping around in your hand.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh man,
here's I want to do one One listener note nug, and then we'll throw it to Brig. Reed tweets in, what is more likely to see this season, two good halves or two terrible halves? And I think my answer is we are going to see both of them. We are probably going to see one game where they're inexplicably great and everything finally clicks and it's like, wow, they scored 48 points and they really just dunked on this team. That's great. And then we're going to see another game where they just crap the bed, probably on national TV. And, you know, then we're going to have the, you know, you're drunk at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the Sunday scaries, you know, Alex, everything you said last week about what's miserable about losing a primetime game. I think we'll see both. I don't know. There's no consistency.
I'm earmarking the, it won't be drunk at 8 p.m. at the Sunday scaries because it wouldn't have kicked off yet, but it'll be 8:20 p.m. and it'll be when the Bills just make quick work of the Packers and you realize there is a huge gulf in class between the Super Bowl contending teams this year and where the Packers are.
Yeah.
Maybe the blowout game will be, I mean, I don't know. Like, who knows? I'm like scared about the Eagles. Like, I'm scared about them being exposed, even though they kind of have been already, you know? Like, they lost the battle of two fake good teams in England. Like,
yeah.
Who would have seen that coming?
But couldn't you also randomly see that game against the Bills being the game where everything kind of comes together?
Yeah, maybe.
Because there's no way to know who this team is or what how to unlock their full potential.
This is how dark I got today. I was thinking about the Lions, and I was like, oh, maybe they could beat the Packers. It's a team that, like, you know, like, they stink. They have a losing record. They stink. They also score like 35 points a game. So,
yeah.
And the Packers can't seem to stop anybody. I don't know.
Well, and they also just can't seem to score at a rate that teams who score do, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't know. You know what? And I was saying that, like, I think the markets are going to overcorrect themselves and we could save more specifics for a degenerate corner at the end. But, like, the Packers are still over a touchdown favorite. Like, going into this week, and
what does Vegas know that I don't?
Well, they probably just know that the Jets are like, but like, I don't know. Packers are actually home, so maybe that's one thing. But I mean, I could see the get right game being this week, right? Like, of course, like who couldn't see their team blowing out the Jets? But I just, nothing seems to be coming easy at this point. So
yeah,
not looking forward to when we get to degenerate corner, and I have to. show up with egg on my face after getting everything wrong again. We should just rename it to Fade Nick Corner. Yeah, potentially.
I haven't workshopped that sounder yet of a moth flying out of an empty wallet, but it's on the list.
Nice.
All right, we're gonna take it to break, and when we come back, we're gonna read some poetry because that's what we do on this football show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Poetry time, guys. We're back and we're just going right into it. And it's funny because this music is designed to, like, calm you down and we've turned the corner on the show and let's have some optimism. And I feel like every haiku that I have written so far this year is pretty negative. So that doesn't change here. Here we go. So, who lost the trade? Devontae? Or the Packers? The answer is yes. What was the Packers' plan post-Devontae? And Devontae was so annoyed at Goot that he took less money to play for a worse team and hang out with his college drinking buddy. And now he's so frustrated that his team stinks that he's shoving cameramen to the ground, freelance cameramen who probably don't have health insurance. Meanwhile, the Packers simply cannot move the ball through the air. It's the worst possible outcome for all sides, and it just sucks. And I don't have like a finer point than that. I just like was grumpy after this Giants game, and then seeing the shove from Adams to see like how badly it's going over there. Like I'm rooting for Adams, and it's just like it just sucks on all sides, and I'm just a grumpy football fan right now.
Yeah. He had to have known that it wasn't going to be the same. Like one MVP to the next.
No, Hall of Famer.
Kidding? Oh yeah, that's what it was. One Hall of Famer to the next. Are you kidding me, dude? The visible, palpable frustration from Adams in multiple forms at the end of that game is just like, well, what did you think was going to happen? You could have had the same payday in Green Bay. But I mean, they didn't get him the promised land either. It's the rare lose-lose.
Yeah.
In terms of the trades.
I guess, because I don't want to focus too much on Adams. It's a Packers show. If I could steer us towards the Packers, you know, I said, what was the Packers' plan post-Devontae? And I thought it was draft some young guys, develop them, but ultimately be a running team. And that seems like that's not the case. So are we back to just fantasizing about who we can pick up or trade for at this point?
I see rumors about Odell Beckham. Just saying. That's not going to correct anything.
I mean, it will insofar, like just having more talent at the receiver position. I think it would help. It
doesn't matter because, at which point they'll end up doing the wrong thing anyway. I just don't have any faith in what negative. The offense. Yeah.
negative.
They just have to grow. I mean, like, I'm excited for them to grow up, but I do agree that just in general, like, the post-Devontae plan being, like, investing draft capital in... Not that Dobbs is a project guy, but, like, Watson very much is. Like, those are theoretically picks for Jordan Love, you know? Like... So the fact that it came with nothing that was like geared for Rodgers, you know, like it'd be one thing to like stash Watson and have another guy that you signed and you bring in, which I guess Sammy Watkins, but that's not like the level that I'm talking about, you know, like there's levels to this game and Sammy Watkins is not the Aaron Rodgers like Super Bowl window thing that I feel like they should have been chasing.
Do you guys think that there was a like a closed door meeting with Rodgers in the front office before this season and maybe they got like a handshake agreement on like two more years and they told him the strategy and were like, look, we might just the offense might stink a little bit.
I mean, at that point you're like yeah, based on what you know about Jordan Love, you're like, please give me two more years. The guy won two MVPs, but now it's like, oh god, two more years.
we've really come to a rough patch where we're like, please, like
that happened fast.
Yeah, what are you? He did not look like we're used to seeing him look, especially on that that Hail Mary at the end of the game. There was a tiny little tinge of me that was like, yeah, I can't turn the game off just yet. And now he has an injured thumb and he wasn't practicing today as a result of it.
That he injured on that play, I believe.
Yeah.
On that.
Sweet. Was I can't remember. I know they rolled out to the left just like they did. Like that was like their Hail Mary thing.
Yeah.
Was Bakhtiari on the field for that play? Because didn't he also barely play?
I believe
comparatively.
I don't know for sure. I believe
he was on the field. Yeah.
I saw a lot of chatter about like, oh, the offensive line got blown up on the, and everyone was like, no, this is how this blocking is designed so that Rodgers can roll out and do his thing.
Yeah. That was by design. And it could have, I mean, he got out of the pocket and he had a chance to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He still has the arm strength. I don't want to go back to the Raiders too much, but watching some of those Derek Carr bombs to Adams, those desperate throws, like he has to like step into it.
Yeah.
Step into it in order to take those long throws.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. No big deal.
I was excited about one Hail Mary launch. I thought for sure, because you know he's going to get it there.
It's a non-zero percent chance. You're like,
Yeah.
It's happened been cool. before.
Damn.
Yeah. more than just once before.
Oh, we didn't mention Mercedes Lewis. We have to. Like, we don't have to say anything else, but like, you can't go through this podcast without mentioning Mercedes Lewis and how awesome it is to just play that role.
Yeah.
Like,
we've said once every three games, he goes out on a route. They forget to cover him. Easy touchdown.
I block and catch touchdowns exclusively.
Yep. I'm 38 and I'm coming through, or however old he is. Is he 38, 37?
He's old.
He's old for as big
for
as he is
for an NFL player.
Yeah.
The old one catch, 2 yards. He is, where are you? 38 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
What he did for his half birthday.
Is he coming back next year?
Yeah, maybe.
Are we, Nick, are we reading poetry?
Depends. Alex, are you feeling zen, or do we want to shift a bit?
I'll take us to the zen den real quick, just so that we can you know, then pivot. All right. Big breath. Amari Rodgers. Is he still on the Packers? All right, cool.
That's the best haiku we've had in a while. I saw an injury update that Kylan Hill is practicing.
Yeah, baby.
Feels loosely related. I don't know.
I would like to hope so. He did lead the Packers in return yards last year. So if you've got that guy coming back and the only role for Amari is that, and you continue to fumble the ball, you don't serve much of a purpose on the active roster.
What would you say you do here?
Exactly. I don't know what it's going to take.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, you got to eat this one.
These are the moments where, like, fast forward 10, 20 years, I want to read, like, some deep dive story where someone's reflecting on their career and they're talking about, like, this is what we saw in this player. This is why we did this. Like, it's not going to come out now. We'll never know in recent history, like, what is going on here with him still being on this team and all that. But I'm kind of low-key fascinated by it because I don't understand.
Remember when Ty Montgomery had that awful display and then he was cut a week later?
He got a way quicker hook than Amari. Yeah.
Amari's just a worse Ty Montgomery.
Wow. What a summation of a player.
Yeah.
But it is true. I mean, well, you know.
And I did a pod with Justice, I don't know, a month or two ago, and he basically said Amari is like an accounting decision, basically. Like he's filling a roster spot for a very low amount of money, and you're gonna put him in there to do something very specific. It's just that he can't do it. I don't know, he can't do it, and I don't know if he just doesn't know the playbook enough to get on the field. This will be the last time I say Amari Rodgers' name on the pod because I feel like I keep recycling these same points and it's probably getting boring, but I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
If we stop talking about him, he'll just vanish.
Maybe. There's only so much you want to like call for something bad to happen to anyone, and I think losing your job is bad, but he's nearing Kyler Fackrell territory for me, I think.
Easy now.
And Fackrell also was like, did things. At least he played a lot of snaps, you know? It's like, he wasn't a specialist. Whatever. Anyway, let's move on.
I think we're pretty sure that a family member of Kyler Fackrell's left us a nasty iTunes review.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
of what we said.
And based on like their like the internet presence elsewhere, I think it was like common for like Kyler Fackrell like defense to come from that account. So anyway.
All right. We are, are we switching gears?
I think so.
All right. Break it down.
I promised this. So here we
are.
You
must deliver.
I'll spare everyone of the paltry English accent this time. A team reeling. Record does not reflect. Ambivalence seen everywhere throughout. Problems mounting. Inside they must inspect. A glance in the mirror only brings doubt. Arrogance prolonged a trip across the pond. Kingdoms of such stature need not conform. But trouble finds you whilst looking beyond, and a meek London fog becomes a storm. Monumental concerns loom large ahead, concerns much larger than giants alone. The king in the north can't yet be called dead. Might a change of the guard protect the throne? Is it really from grace we see them fall? This team's identity? Nothing at all.
Wow.
Wow. First of all, great work. King in the North. That's nice. We actually, in our house, we started watching House of the Dragon and then decided this isn't that good. We'd rather just watch Game of Thrones again. So we started Game of Thrones from
good because it's terrible.
One season one. So nice. We're deep into that.
Yeah. I stopped after like four and I didn't know anyone's name. I just started watching with subtitles because it's the only way I could follow along and I still wasn't interested.
Let's dissect sure. The poetry here.
Yeah.
You mentioned arrogance keeping the team from going across the pond. Can you expound upon that idea?
Yeah. I mean, they were the last team to make the trip. They didn't want to give up a home game because of all the money it can generate. And they also thought that they didn't have to because they had such a strong following locally and that they could just skirt and not have to oblige like everyone else did. And finally they complied.
You think they thought they would never have to pay the piper on that one?
I feel like in a way, but that was always the narrative for a long time. It was like, well, they're not going to go and B, they're not going to give up a home game, but no team wants to allow the Packers to use that as a road game and then, you know, be able to use that additional advantage throughout the season.
Yeah.
So it was just like one of those things like, well, they're not going to go. Why should they have to go? This happens.
Yeah.
And they made it out to be like, oh, this is the first time you've had two teams over. I don't know if it was over 500, but it was with me. I think it was with winning records play against one another. And those did not look like two teams that were above 500. I'd almost rather watch the Jags than what was on display.
And you put a fine point on it at the end of your sonnet, I believe that was, by saying that this team basically has no identity. And I remember tweeting immediately after this game that like, I can't think of the thing that they're good at. I don't think they're good at any one thing. What's the thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And the other, yeah, and I'm like, if you address some of these concerns and literally just, well, literally and figuratively look in the mirror. I just think everybody on the team just needs to look at themselves in the mirror and say,
just literally,
what is it that I do on this team? And how is it providing more for the greater good?
Just look in the mirror and say, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And yeah. Gosh darn,
Roger,
people.
Rogers does a lot of reflecting and I feel like that's not really helping. So I don't know.
Yeah. Everybody, sans Rogers reflection.
I just wanted to say, one, that is a great poem. Two, I feel like you've cemented yourself into like the ethos of this podcast. And like, I hope a decade from now that if we're not doing this anymore, that someone somewhere is like, remember that podcast that used to do tarot card readings and poems? What happened to those guys? Because yeah, that's, I would say a top five memorable moment.
I'll tweet out the sonnet for anyone who wants to further dissect the undertones, because there are some more that are woven in there, but I'll leave that up to the rest of you all to uncover.
There we go. Yeah. Oh man.
Highlight of my day, making a Shakespearean music drop.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Now, how many more of those do I have to write? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you could go back to haikus, but
we'll see. But maybe we'll explore some different poems. We got a long season, a long grueling season ahead.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, let's explore some different poem types, and then And then just go from there.
Just going back to one of the things we were saying just then, though, it seemed to me, I don't know if you guys would agree, the Packers definitely went to England with this like bravado. Like, we have so many fans here. Like, this is like, the airport is just full of green and gold. It's like, it definitely, compared to other games that I've seen in London, maybe because I'm more invested in it and watching it with like the sound all the way up, but it definitely felt like way more of a home game than any other game there that any team has gotten to enjoy, right? Yep. Like, which we kind of anticipated. So it makes it even more embarrassing in a way.
For
this
sure.
was like supposed to be kind of a global showcase of this yeah. team that has the, you know, reigning MVP and all of these things.
Yeah. I liked that in Rodgers' post-game presser, someone asked him like, oh, you know, what do you want to say to all the European fans that came out for this game, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, first of all, sorry. I'm glad he apologized for delivering such a, I think I called it a wet fart of a game earlier. Yeah. That's really what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal. It kind of sucks. I mean, at least they got to see a good half.
Yeah.
You know? So there's that. But maybe the Packers will be back in Europe. They really should be playing in Germany. Like, I know that this is the first year of that, and I think it's going to be the Tom Brady global showcase.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Woo freaking who. But you know, maybe they'll, as the road team, maybe they'll go to Munich, and I feel like that would make a lot of sense.
And now maybe they're a little more humbled. I'm sure they won't be. but yeah, you can't just go everywhere and expect your adoring fans to follow along and just trot through this game like any other. It's like it is an intense level of travel to do that. And they looked prepared enough, but I think, yeah, I don't even think it was on their bodies or on their preparedness. I think it was just a weird play calling.
Yeah, it's definitely seemed more decision making. So I feel like you can't necessarily fault jet lag and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well, you guys want to make a quick pit stop at Degenerate Corner before we get out of here? I haven't actually looked at anything gambling related. Alex, you mentioned or Nick,
seven and a half point favorites as it stands against
more than
the
a
Jets.
Touchdown. And the Jets, for anyone not paying attention to the rest of the league because they have better things to do, bully for you, just beat the Dolphins, right? Like, they scored 40 points on the Dolphins, I think.
Yeah.
Dolphins, albeit with a third string quarterback.
Yeah.
So the Jets are one of those teams that I feel like are, I don't want to say, I was going to say similar to the Giants, but I feel like they have like some decent coaching that's coming together.
They have enough
to put together.
They're a
talent poor roster.
Right. They have enough that can, if it all comes together, can easily beat this Packers team.
Yeah. We're now at the point, yeah, where it's like, I think that until proven otherwise, the Packers kind of stink. And so like basically every week, I'm just like, yeah, I could see them losing. Whereas like in years past, every week I go into it like, I'm 80% sure that the Packers can really pull this out. But I'm going in, my new thing is I'm going into every weekend with no expectations.
Yeah, I think there's no choice if you're coming off of almost losing to Zappi and then losing to Daniel Jones. Like, I would love just browsing at it. I'd love to take a Zach Wilson prop. But can I confidently say that like the Packers can stop him? I don't know that I can. So I can go first if you want. Again, I think the ethos of Degenerate Corners take just like more like a prop bet or something that's not just picking against the spread. Usually the past couple of weeks gone positive. I don't mean to be negative. It's not even me saying that I think bad things are going to happen like team wide, but 51.5 rushing yards for AJ Dillon seems like a lot.
I was looking at that too.
Yeah, just from a usage perspective, even.
I feel like LaFleur is going to be like, if there's any game I got to get Aaron Jones the ball, it's this one. He just said something about it. I know he looped Dylan into his thing. They're boys. They have a great relationship. Aaron Jones is the star of that backfield.
Yeah.
He needs the freaking ball. And AJ Dillon, not to mention, is not exactly very high in the yards per carry ranking. So I feel like if he's going to be like getting 10 touches or fewer, 51.5, I'll take that under all day. That's going to be my That'll be my pick for this week. And although I know I will last week,
not to cut you off, but AJ Dillon against the Giants, 5.7 yards per carry.
Yeah, much better on six touches. So
six touches.
Yeah.
Oh, womp, womp, womp.
It's a combination of yards per carry and just actual usage that I feel like is gonna be the factor there. But I also thought they'd give Aaron Jones the ball last week. I said, oh, they have no choice, and that's why I picked his over, and guess what?
Yeah.
Lost money on that one.
Yeah. Because I think I'm a glutton for punishment and I enjoy losing money. I've got two overs for you. I like Zach Wilson over 10.5 rushing yards.
Oh, that seems, yeah, that's good.
It's low. He's speedy enough. And the way that defense is constituted is if you break outside of the pocket and you've got just Quay out covering running back, or he's maybe not even in, and they're in that penny thing, and it's just Devondre, he should be able to rush for more than 10 yards.
Yeah, you just need one scramble. You can do
one
that.
One scramble. So if you're rooting for one Zach Wilson scramble, I would say I'm pretty confident in that. And then, Alex, in the same vein, as this is going to be the one game that we really try to get Aaron Jones the ball, 88.5 rushing and receiving yards combined seems pretty doable.
Ooh, yeah. Total yards. What was his total for yards in this game? 63 rushing yards and 17 passing yards. So shy of that for sure.
Shy of that. So you would assume that usage will go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That's what is that? It's 80 on the nose.
At home, I mean, I feel like if they get off to a fast start, especially.
By the way, we're using DraftKings as our book. At least I was.
Yeah, same. So if those are slightly off,
you vary from book to book.
I think I would say even if I would build in like at least for Dylan, 3 to 5 either way. I would say like even if it was like 48.5, I'd be like, I think I might still take the under.
Yeah.
On that one, but.
But also, if you've learned anything as a listening audience, please bet in the other direction of what we think. Because it hasn't gone well. I think I was close on if Saquon would not have been out, because I said take his over no matter what. He went out for the one drive and he needed just a few more yards and that over would have hit.
Yeah.
So that's what I was weirdly as I'm like, well, I think the Packers are going to lose this game. Oh, and now they're going to lose the game and Saquon's going to be out. So I'll lose the bet and also lose any shred of happiness I was hoping to have today.
The old lose.
Yep.
Just a sad man with a floppy waffle in a hotel room.
Yep. Prepared to drive.
And like
6 hours of traffic.
There you go. That's
Wait
the worst
part. Wait
for
an hour and a half to get through the Holland Tunnel. That was miserable. Packed in a car with 4 other people.
At least it wasn't an 8-hour flight. Like the actual team.
Yeah. That's worse.
Well,
anyway, kind of want to end the show on that note. Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything? Can anybody say anything positive? Did we say anything positive this entire show?
I've got one.
Oh, you got one?
Yeah, you can go first. You go first.
I think the Packers win, and I think they win by more than a touchdown.
Wow. All right. So you take the Packers.
Taking the over.
All right. I don't know. I think the Packers win, but undecided on the 7.5. My one positive thing, because you mentioned Quay Walker, or I think Nick mentioned Quay Walker, when he was describing
the scramble.
Zach Wilson scrambling. A non APC group chat. Somebody mentioned that maybe the coolest thing in this game was just watching Quay Walker like run stride for stride like 30 yards down the field. And possibly outrun Saquon Barkley. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a positive.
He is athletic.
He's got some tools that Quay. Way to go.
Way to go, Quay.
It is a really positive thing. Totally. And also if winter's coming, Jair chooses to wear those sleeves all year round. So sick.
He did look sweet.
With the yellow sleeves were good. I like the yellow sleeves. Here's my positive note. Slight sarcasm, but last week we called out Josiah DeGuara. And in this game, two plays in a row, baby. Two catches, 19 yards.
And guess what? Two
yards.
Targets, two catches.
Yeah.
Unleash
him. Hands. Mr. Reliable. Two targets, two catches.
Speaking of wardrobe, Packers are going to their 50s uniforms this week.
Oh.
I don't know if that means good or bad. We should look back to see what their record is. I remember the Donald Driver in those old jerseys years and years ago when he scored that touchdown without his helmet on.
Yeah.
I like these new 50s jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah, those other jerseys were like blue with a yellow dot.
Those were
disorienting.
Yeah. Those were gross. It's almost gonna look like a color rush game, probably.
Everyone loves a color rush.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nobody loved color rush.
That's correct.
I like the Packers whites.
Those were cool. But I feel like they did the color rush for like half a season, and then they announced that they weren't going to do it again, and they still had like the rest of the season to go, and they were just like, this is a flop.
Yeah. They could only focus on one thing at a time, and right now it's caring about concussions. So.
Okay, we're going to poke that. That's it.
All right. Another depressing episode.
Yep.
But until you give us a reason not to be depressed, we're going to sit here and be it.
All right, guys. The Jets are coming up. That's a beatable team. That's all I got. Go back up. Later.